Okay, welcome everyone for the weekly English medium discussion. We have already appointed sutta or topic for the day, but before going to the traditional appointed sutta, I would like to ask if anyone is having any other suggestion or any other topic or any other interview reports. We'll take few minutes at the beginning, and finishing that, we will be going to the appointed sutta, Purabheja sutta from Sutta Nipata.
Avasarai Bhante, we have not received any reports for today's Zoom session. Avasarai.
Thank you, Ari. No other any this thing? So we can go, Venerable Buddharakita, we can go to 8th one, I think now. 7th.
He does not train for a desire for gain, nor is he irritated over lack of gain. Not hostile, because of craving he does not hanker after tastes. So again, this is again a major hurdle for, I think, for anybody beginning on the path, you know, anybody like who goes on retreats, you know, they come here for a weekend or a day or something like that. They want benefits, you know, and they want and expect benefits immediately. And if the monks say, oh, it's very meritorious to come to the monastery and to make offerings and to do some meditation, you know, they go home and they feel disappointed because in their heart they felt like they were duped out of something. Because they had in their heart a desire for gain. And so this is a very intrinsic property of all beings. You know, they want gain. And if they don't get gain, they feel loss. They feel like they've been screwed over or had stuff taken from them. Or, you know, they feel loss. And when you feel loss, you feel anger, you feel irritated, you feel annoyed, and you also feel hostile. And, you know, you have craving, and you hanker after a taste of something. So there's different kinds of tastes. So when you come to the monastery, maybe you wish the taste of, I want to be free from stress, I want to be free from anxiety, I want to be free from irritation. And then you're going home and you feel more irritated and more annoyed because you feel like that was a waste of time. You know, I lost time. I could have been doing something else. I could have been entertaining myself. I could have been doing something better than this. And you know, the same goes for monks or for so-called serious meditators then, where, you know, they want to be reborn as Maitreya. Or they want to have some special psychic power, and it's really quite common. I've met so many monks at this stage who, you know, in Burma, I met a lot of monks, you know, even like lecturers and teachers of mine who were saying to me that they had no interest in enlightenment, that they had some other reason. You know, they wanted to be reborn and meet Maitreya. That was surprisingly common. I had one of the monks who translated for me. He was a lawyer by training. He had excellent English. And I mentioned it to him about Maitreya one day. And he said, yes, I want to see Maitreya. This is why I practice. I don't practice for attainment or light enlightenment now. And there was another young monk I lived with again in Burma. He was very exceptional, had come here and ordained here in Sri Lanka and had a degree from one of the universities and had produced a dictionary of Pali and English and Sinhalese and Czech. Like he had this tri-dictionary, three different languages. Very clever guy, and he was memorizing the whole Vinaya. He must be one of the few Western monks I know who's really making an effort to memorize the Vinaya. And he wanted to develop psychic powers. No, there's a younger, he's a crazy. Yeah, have you? Okay. All right. anyway, he just wanted, he was like into Superman, you know, into Marvel comics or something. He wanted to fly. And I was like, but why are you memorizing the Vinaya? But anyway, you know, it's very strange, the motivations behind. So to stay on this track, to not train from a desire for gain, and not be irritated over lack of gain, is extremely hard. It's extremely hard because, you know, we have this word chanda, that means to have an aspiration or a wish to succeed. And chanda is a very important spiritual quality, but we have to balance chanda with tanha, with these motivations of greed or desire for things. Whereas chanda is more a freedom from things. So, you know, tanha is a desire for things, and chanda is a freedom from things. So, and again, this is a very subtle quality, because of conditioning. You know, life after life after life, we exist, we survive because we wanted things. And now in this lifetime, you're being told to change it for freedom from things, and to put aside gain, and to you know, to not have this ambition around gain, and not have this sense of loss around I'm not getting anything. I'm not, you know. So again, I've had the opportunity to have prosperity and success in my own life, and it's always been the hardest thing to give up. You know, is you know, like sometimes you're just having no money and standing there and waiting for somebody to pay or to help out or to deal with a difficulty. It can be something really small, like you can't get into a toilet because it's 50 cents to enter the toilet, or you go into a toilet and there's no toilet paper, you know, so you need a few cents for tissue paper, or you're thirsty and you can't get a drink because the water is like $1 in a bottle and there's no tap. This happens in a lot of airports. And, you know, or you can't eat because it's the wrong time of day, which can be very difficult when you're traveling because you can't make arrangements to get the food at the right time. You know, and you're like, this was so easy to do in the past, you know, and like, what is this about? Like, why am I having to suffer this inconvenience, you know, that's so easy to fix, you know, this sense of loss and a sense of, you know, and then you know, if I explain to my friends who have, you know, nice house and car and kids are going to a nice school or whatever it is, and they're like, are you crazy, you know, are you brain damaged, you know, why do you want to be so self-destructive? Why do you want to be a loser, you know? To have that clarity and vision, you know, to really have that sadha. I remember the Burmese would always make a point about, like, to be a monk, you need sadha. You really need to have faith in the Buddha's teachings. Because, you know, you don't know all the time. You don't know, like the Buddha talks about all sorts of things, and I have to say, I don't know. I don't know about these different realms. I don't know about these different mental states. And, you know, does that mean that I'm an idiot? You know, that I'm not able to achieve all these things? And, you know, I can have that negative mind. So I have to be very careful of the script that I'm running inside my own mind. Am I talking to myself nicely, or am I finding some fault? You know, so am I getting irritated over my lack of gain? So this is very important. And not hostile, you know, not hostile to this adverse situation is very difficult. You know, to be suffering, to be in difficulty, and it often be very minor. You know, like I can't get into that toilet. Those people want some money. And not hostile about it. To be not hostile in a difficult situation is very difficult. That's a kind of a great battle to win. you know, it's easy to be very relaxed when everything is smooth and people are carrying you along. But when you're in difficulty and it's not easy to be not hostile. And because of craving, not hankering after tastes, you know, so again, every day, especially around food, you know, we eat what we're given. And, you know, like it can be really challenging, you know, to eat all the time, never really getting a choice around what food that you get to eat. You know, like it can be really difficult. Like people can have really strange ideas what monks eat. I was in Australia and I had a cousin visiting, a Sri Lankan cousin of mine visiting, and they were really adamant. They thought it was the most ridiculous thing they'd ever seen was that Western Australians were giving pizza to monks. They said, like, you don't feed monks pizza. And I said, we're not animals. You know, it's not like a dog where you don't feed dogs pizza or something. You don't feed the kangaroos pizza. You know, you just look at the monks. They're happy to get pizza, you know. He said, no. You give rice and dal to monks. That's, you know, rice and bat and paripu. That's what you feed monks. You know, dog food is for dogs. Rice, bat and paripu is for monks. And I was like, you know, this is the West, you know, give the monks a break. They're eating their own food and stuff like that. Like, but what I'm saying is that you, as a monk on the other side of the coin, you can't hanker after tastes, you know. So this is a really, it's a challenge every single day to get food you know, really eat it for nutrition and for health and for support of the body and for support of the practice. That's a great relief to me when I think about that. Like, what's the purpose? What's the meaning of the food? And just, you know, eating food that's hopefully nutritious and healthy for myself, and that's it. You know, I don't eat food that's not healthy for me. That's about my only limit. But I try not to hanker after the tastes. You know, I don't wish... Oh, why is it so spicy today? You know, why there's 10 chili inside this dish? This is burning me or something. This is painful. Like, why do people give me painful food? You know, something like this, you know. And it's like, okay, you know, if it's not suitable, don't eat it. Or I can be patient about this. So food is, again, a huge issue for monks. And it doesn't necessarily get easier with time. You know, where you're hankering after tastes, but there are so many different kinds of tastes. You know, what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we touch. We can taste after a lot of different things. So to not hanker after these things, to not, you know, people will say, oh, you know, such and such a musician is a great musician, or such and such a movie is a great movie, and I'm like, yeah, I haven't heard it, I haven't seen it. You know, and not hanker after it is really a big challenge. Anyway, I'd be very happy to hear what you have to say, Mahaturo.
So the sutta, it is appearing in the Sutta Nipata, the Tipitaka book, and this particular sutta is known as Purabeda Sutta. The history is this is meant for devas. They are already in the heaven, so they have no question. They don't have go to go home, nothing. They are not going to the goldfish. They are very happy. So therefore, with the Buddha come or go, they don't care. They are better off. So, but the Buddha is having some kind of a compassion. Therefore, Buddha is creating another Buddha. Is asking, what is a really contented person, Upasanta Pudgala. So the Gautama the Buddha is answering. Give very minor, tiny details to understand who is the contented person. The Deva can't understand because they are by now, their happiness, they are contented, they know. But the Buddha says, this is not the real contentment. This is not the real peacefulness. And he has to show you are good, but there is a better part. So in Sri Lanka also, people have something and they gain something very difficult to teach. They are already thinking, why we are worrying about this ardent practices, because we are better off. When you are fallen, he says, I am sorry, I can't practice meditation because I am fallen down and I am very desperate. But when you have become better off, you never listen. So therefore, these suttas are completely talking in a different way, explaining the better to the good people. You are already good, but showing and convincing them, there's a better way. So therefore, the points are very subtle, very sharp. Only through knowledge you can understand. Otherwise, it is not giving a hiatus. It is not giving any impact. Unless otherwise you get the background, he says, Labakhamya na sikkati, alabhe na kuppati. Laba prarthanadiya sutradiya noha darada, alabhe nokipeda. The Sudhuhamdu, he explained, Labakhamya na sikkati, that when we are coming to meditation retreat, we don't expect anything. We don't expect any result. We are not practicing with the supply and demand theory. We are not practicing to gain something or expectation. But except vipassana, dana, sila, bhavana, samatha bhavana, everything is teaching you to expect something. When you are giving dana, you expect in return. In sila, you expect moral gain. And bhavana, expect, as he mentioned, going in the sky, flying and Superman and all the kind of things. That is how we became monks. In young ages, we are not much moved to become monks. We are not moved to become meditators because they are given some kind of a camouflage. And so once we come to the real meditation center, they says that is a blockage for you because you are coming with this craving to gain something. But the thing is, you must not tell someone these theories, this Dhamma, till he gains something. At the early part, you have to say, yes, 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 you must have hopes, you must have objectives, you must have targets, you must have the aims, yes. Once you gain something, you have to say, you see, even if you gain the aims, it is not giving contentment. So therefore, you have to now do better. So therefore, in future, you will be strive further without expectation, no calculations. So the commentator says, learning with expectation. But we are telling not learning, even the meditation with expectation. That is very difficult to talk openly in radio talks. Very difficult to give a video talks. Because the people will not follow then Buddhism. But they are always following something tit to tat. Give this thing and have something. Supply and demand theory. So only this book in the Tipitaka is talking about this kind of thing. Other thing is more linear, more rational, but this is talking the rational thing. Your aim, if as far as you are expecting something, you are something inferior. Do it for the sake of doing. Very difficult. And four stages Buddha mentioned, the karma is our sexual pleasure and the sensuous pleasure. And instead if you are renouncing, that you people renounce for a few days, we renounce for whole life, that renunciation, we come to the forest of meditation center. Now we don't have the hearing, smelling, tasting, visual objects as we wish. So life becomes very boring. So there you have to understand, don't expect that kind of a stimuli, sensuous stimulations or sexual stimulation, because this is less harm to the environment, less harm to your future, less harm to your fellow beings, but it's boring. So in order to avoid that boredom, the Buddha asks, keep the meditation fixed into one single object. When you are sitting, you know you are sitting. And consider it as a big achievement. When you are sitting, you are with the breath. Oh, I am with the breath. Big achievement. When you are walking, you are eating with the left leg, right leg. So hardly any person can be happy. When you are sitting, you can be aware that I am sitting or smelling, breathing or walking. Once that comes, the karma desire or sensuous desire will be replaced by your meditation object. meditation object becomes the second replacement. So we are now in the philosophical sphere, religious sphere, and the material sphere. Slowly what happened is that object also slowly becoming less attractive, less gross, become subtle, and then again you become lethargic, boredom, monotonous, and sleepy. So you can see in the meditation hall how many people are sleepy, sitting and they are dropping. And while walking also they are feeling sleepy, because that the object become less and less conspicuous, less and less prominent. So that is the fourth stage, Buddha says. Someone must be very, very careful, go with very real expectation, then it is not very hard thing. Still you have to maintain the vigilance, maintain the diligence, maintain the mindfulness. This is only possible for human beings, no other beings. Even the Yakha, Deva, Brahma, they can't do it. So therefore, losing your ego in four stages, Kama replaced by Kama Sanya, then Kama Sanya replaced by Rupa, Rupa replaced by Rupa Sanya, each time you feel bored. Each time you feel like hooked. Each time you feel like outcasted. Specifically people coming from different countries and different cultures, when they are going through this kind of episodes, metamorphosis. They are in different languages, they are in different feelings and different situations, but everyone is going through hard difficulties. And when it's happening, many people give up. 99% people give up. Either they disrobe. After the meditation, they are very happy to go home and have that senses. But thing is, they are again going into the same vicious cycle. So therefore, you have to go to meditation with that mindset that you are losing yourself egotistic idea or the desire or result orientation capacity. So Upandita Saido, we both underwent him. If someone is not with that mindset, if someone is not going to meditation with that mind, it is not the fault of the disciple, it is the fault of the teacher. Teacher is 100% responsible if the disciple is lethargic, if the disciple is bored, if the disciple is monotonous. Because it is naturally happening. When you are meditating, when the meditation becomes successful, you are losing. Not the theory knowledge, but the sila, tamadhi, panya, everything. So that is the hardest part. So therefore, if there is no Buddha dispensation at the proper teacher, whatever you do, meditation is going waste. Because you will ultimately write a book telling, I also have done the meditation, it is bullshit, nothing happened, and that is what happened. So there is one book called What the Buddha Never Taught. It is criticizing all the Thailand. But the monks are doing nothing but the Buddha taught. They are doing bullshit. So that is the teacher's misunderstanding, teacher's this unskillfulness. So therefore, you do it, but without expectation, without result-oriented kind. So today, education is an utter failure. Always giving expectation. Term test and year-end test, competitive test, and everything is taken from the Western teachings. We also had our Pirivana education. It is completely gone now. And this is based, and then once you've gone through the exam, you get this and that scholarship and all the kind of thing. Your second generation also finished, not only you. So now Western education, they understood this. The Buddha taught 2,600 years ago, labha kamyana sikkati, don't do restrain with expectation, alabena kuppati. When you are losing something, don't angry telling that this is because of Gota, this is of the government, this is of the climate, this is of the thing. It's lost. It is your bad luck. And people instead go the rebellion. So whole world is in war. Man. But we in Sri Lanka, we in Nisanone happily meditating. Because we get a very nice chance, very nice opportunity no one is disturbing, I think we are giving a very good answer. I mentioned in the Kadwela also, we are asking people to come, we with us, we will share with you with something to eat and do practice. Don't worry about the rebellions and don't worry about the Ukraine war. Don't worry about the Palestinian and Israel war. Don't worry about the money laundering. Utterly dirty. All the people in the developed countries and so-called educated, this is shit. Nothing. Because nowadays YouTube is showing you. But the Buddha says, have less amount of expectation. Don't lose your heart. Because meditation, that is the teaching. And aviruddhe, aviruddhocha tannahaya rasesu nanu gijjati. Virodhe yukta nuve. Now he may be against with me. He will not be happy with me, with that idea, this idea. But he also human. Telling that he is Prabhakaran, I have to kill him. That's my prime important thing. And if he is taking a sword and telling, if you come like that, I also kill you. That is the way Virudha. Sectarianism. That is the whole thing happened in the religion. Each and every religion has holy wars. And then it is not giving any peace. But instead, if you become mindful, you understand we can agree to disagree. No harm. I'm so happy. All my life, there were some other foreign monks. And this time, the man says, Dhammajiva, you are wrong. And I say, no harm. I feel you also wrong, no harm. Because we are meditators. We are learning to disagree. Agree to disagree. And other people appreciating we are living together. We have different desires and we have different fulfillments. Still we are living. That is called Aviruddha Pratipada. So when I go to Peradeniya Dhamma talk, my topic is the Aviruddha Sutta, Apannaka Sutta. The Venerable Jnanaponika, in his book, he says, non-coerciveness. Don't be coercive with other one. Don't have friction with anyone. He also have his own rights. I have mine. Why should we fight each other? But for the last 30 years, we have the civil war. The Tamil means something against. So my boss, he was a Norwegian, and he put invest money, and we were earning, of course. And Norwegian Christian, the communist team came to tell that he is exploiting Sri Lanka. So we don't know that there is a communist people in Norway. When he's come, my boss told, today I'm going to have a pair of shorts, not a long the trousers, because they are coming. And what they did was, they went to the workers' houses, very poor people, 365 people, 350. When the reporters come, they are so happy. They are living in Kajan houses. And this is, the Suddha fellow is doing a very good job. He is giving a job for us. And we got a bicycle, we got a radio, and they are smiling. So the communist people found nothing to publish in the papers. And he says, when you come, let them come. Of course, we are making money, no problem. Let them have. Don't again go against with them. They will never interview you because you are a local person. They will go to the servants and they will interview me and telling exploitation. But don't get worried about. And that is the basic idea. The Aviruddha Patipada is the Apannaka Patipada, the Appamada. Appamada means be ready for anything to happen. Don't think this must not happen. Such a thing not available on the earth. Anything happen is legal. This can be possible. Therefore, aviruddhocha tanhaya rasesu nanu gijjati. So therefore, I like this, therefore I don't like him. I like this, I don't like this. So liking is the one make this kind of a discrimination. So we think discrimination is due to dislike. No, liking is the one making the discrimination. And don't chase by your own desire. That is called pleasure principle. He is using the term hedonic pleasure. We all, animal beings and human beings, always searching what you like. and chasing going there, don't worry about your precepts. Don't worry about the restraint. And that is what happens in the younger age, our age. We are just chasing by, just like a moth jumping into the flame. And they get burnt out. So exactly the same thing. So today is the best example, I think. With Corona, with this Russian war, and the collapsing of the economies, and the bankruptcy, people can see still they are chasing. They expect the results and expect the answer from the government. They never think they have to change. They never think they have to go get with the nature and grow something and eat. No, 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 we must have gas. 40 years ago, we never heard the term gas. About 40, 50 years ago, we never had electricity. 50, 60 years, we never expected on the petrol and diesel. We pedaling with the bicycle and going up and down, collecting water. Now these three just waiting at the sea whether the ship is coming or not. And we are finding fault with the government. You bloody fellows, you never calculated to have this kind of thing. That is why the bankruptcy. So people go into still the gold face for fighting the government. Bloody fellows, they don't know they have the two hands and two legs. Go to the forest and grow. Eat something green. I mean, it is better than all the junk they are expecting out of the gas cooker. They don't understand. And government is give a tit-to-tat fight just to keep the people tense and occupied. And that is very, very easy for them. With the emergency and everything, the governing is easier. So today everything is gone bad because no transport, no deliveries. People don't know how to go to the forest and live alone. They always think the government should come and delivery bankers have to have and the gas has to come and all the kind of thing. And to go and have a cigarette and have a chat in the pub. So Buddha mentioned earlier, now very happy. We are now again faced with the same thing. So we are happy with different cultural people from the different cultures coming and presenting there. We are everything in the same boiling pot. So that is my interpretation about the 858 stanza. Labha kamyata, labha kamyana sikkati, alib alo alabhena cha kuppati, aviruddho cha tanhaya rasesu nanu gijjati. So this is nothing special, but to adjust yourself and have a middle path.
I would like to add a different kind of spin to this again, to speak it from a higher point of view again, which is, you see, if you train with a gain in mind, like in my own case, I didn't know anything about psychic powers or anything about attainments or path or religion or anything. I just like meditation. So that was just my own taste, you see. And, you know, I just felt it was a good thing for myself. I had an interest, like a hobby, you know, that was my hobby. Other people have different hobbies, making something, doing something. My hobby was meditation. And I didn't know anything about how meditation can bring you somewhere or do something for you. So I had no idea about gains in meditation. For me, just doing meditation was a hobby. Like it was like play. Mahatero mentioned hedonic pleasure, but there's a different kind of pleasure, like flow. So when you're meditating, you can enter into a kind of a flow state, and time is passing by, and you don't care. You know, it's a pleasure in its own way if you're in a nice flow state. And if you know nothing about meditation, then the meaning doesn't really matter. It's like, well, I just like doing this. This is my hobby. This is how I like to pass time. And so I found that quite beneficial because I didn't have any burden that I had to prove anything to anybody. You know, it was for my own pleasure, and I enjoyed doing this. But the thing is like, actually, there are benefits in meditation. You know, so sometimes when you practice these things and you just do the work, then you naturally come to the benefits. And if I had an idea that I was after something or a gain, I wouldn't have got those benefits, because that is the wrong cause and condition. You know, I wouldn't have got the effect that I got out of meditation if I had followed the path of looking for things, because that wouldn't have been the cause and condition for the benefits that I did get out of meditation. So as Venerable Dhammajiva mentioned, like, these last few years have been catastrophic in the world, but here in the monastery it's just been very nice. And I've mentioned this in the past, like, a friend of mine does astrology, so I had her cast my astrology, and she said, oh, you know, these years are very bad for you. And I said, this, it may be true, I don't criticize this astrology, but it hasn't been bad at all because of wise action, you know, because I was in the monastery and I was protected by the sasana. I was protected by my actions. I didn't have a bad time, even though my astrology says this is a bad time. And so it's not always written. You know what I mean? It's not written that your bad time is a bad time because of a change of actions. So, you know, this training without desire is very important if you really want to be super successful. You know, if you want to be incredibly successful, you have to practice without desire. Because if you put in a desire, you will only achieve that desire and then you stop. You know, the people who make spectacular results, they'll tell you, well, how did you come across? They said, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I never imagined this. Why? Because I wasn't aiming for this. I had no idea that this is the result. You know, I was just doing it because I enjoyed it. I did it because it was my hobby. I did it because it was fulfilling for me. I didn't expect this breakthrough. I didn't expect this result. You know? And it's quite remarkable when you speak to people who have incredible achievements. It wasn't what they were after. You know, a lot of the time, it wasn't what they were after. They had other goals. So it's very interesting to talk to them about what was going on for them. And then this not irritated over lack of gain and not hostile as well. What it reminds me of was that even difficulties can be a great teacher if you have the right mindset, you know. And I mean, Ajahn Chah often talked about, like, how, he, you know, people would ask him, why was he so wise? And he would say he had made so many mistakes. He had done so many stupid things. And like, I feel the same. Like, I know so many blind alleys. You know, I've been down most of them. And, you know, I often say to my students that, like I've done more stupid things than you have. Like, I have great imagination in stupidity. I've gone down so many blind alleys. Like, if I say to them, like, if I can try to help you with your meditation, because I've done all the stupid things. There isn't a stupid thing you've done that I probably haven't done, you know? And I can save you the trouble of doing the stupid thing that I did before. Like, sometimes I can't tell you how to meditate, but I can definitely tell you how not to meditate, because I've done all those stupid things, you know? So not being irritated over my lack of gain, not being irritated over all the stupid things I've done has been very useful, and learning from them. Like, it was just a lesson. It was another teaching to me, you know? I say to myself, bow down to all my teachers. And most of my teachers were idiots. You know, most of my teachers, like, were my own stupid mistakes, my own stupidity. That was the greatest teacher I ever had. And, like, I'm really expert in how not to do a lot of things, you know. So that's just a different spin on this. So it's, you know, if you really want success, you have to put aside this idea of gain, because it's not how you will be successful. You know, you have to follow the path.
So to add something that I have met so much of people, and children and the people, they completely achieved what they aim for. Next day they commit suicide. Australia itself, 4 children committed suicide after the passing the exam. And nowadays Japan, suicidal rate per 1 month. Unbelievable. They are the top, gross national production. And I told in the yesterday also, the Switzerland, they prepared a new coffin. You can go there and switch on. 10 minutes time, you will die. And you can use the same thing as a coffin. It's in the market now. This is the richest country. It's a commercial product. And government give the authority, if you are buying it, you have rights to commit suicide. There's no use of living. But doing meditation for the meditation, not for the gain, you are living for meditation. Not for gaining the samatha dhyana or the marga pala, nothing. Just doing for the sake of doing. So that is the point where the aesthetic thing happens. The love, the nature, natural thing happen. But if you are chasing behind, you are always like an animal. You are like a reptilian, like a chasing behind a prey. But of course, at the beginning it is the case. After a while, you are doing for the sake of doing. So when it is happening, you are in contentment. So nowadays, very difficult to have that mindset because all the educational centers or academics are making you chasing behind something. So then competitive each other, children don't love parents and the teachers have no religion, they are chasing behind. Ultimately, once they gain, commit suicide. No use. What is it? So very difficult. So the parents went to Achan Brahm. He says, I can't understand because that child passed the exam. Next day he hanged to death. And he says, only the karmic force I can understand. Parents, they find difficult to face the world. Why? We are committing suicide if we get failed. But they are, after gaining it, and only civilized people commit suicide. The aboriginals never commit suicide. Animals never commit suicide. Only the civilized people. So therefore, doing it for the sake of doing, very difficult. People, our parents even don't look happy. They say, you must be something, you must be after something. But you will get frustrated once you achieved. Is this what I was chasing behind? Like? So therefore, Nibbana is once you achieved, you are no more. All the appointments will be disappointed, you are also not there, then only you achieve. So these books are explaining that kind of a paradoxical presentation. But normal Dhamma, in the normal Sutta, in the normal explanations, it is not there. Always linear, but this is not linear. This is a kind of a matrix kind of achievement. So therefore, don't chase behind something. But the thing is, otherwise there won't be any motivation. Professor Padmasiddha Silva, he wrote with the Freudian and Buddhist psychology, he says how a person motivated to do a dana or sila or bhavana or learning and whatever thing, what is the motivation? Motivation is always worldly one. The best example is once you achieved, you lose. What is it? But the Buddha is the only one, he is changing the motivation one after the other, ultimately go into the boundless situation, no boundary situation, and you are no more there. Nowadays also we have that kind of thought moments. We feel like losing the control, dementia, no short memory gone, and fearful life. So meditation is to go up to that level where you are not understanding, you're not justifying yourself. Anyone to talk?
Yes, I'm very happy to hear Bente talking like that today, because I think in the West, time is money. So it's like that. There must be a result, because time is money. And when I take my country, I'm from France, we have a very good social network, medical network. And during the COVID crisis, we were very lucky because the government helped people a lot. But still, I feel like most people thought it was not enough. Even the government was helping a lot. So people are not contented with what they have. So I think Bente should go and open Satipatthana school in France. That'd be a very good idea because it's very needed over there.
And I saw many American countries, they can't afford the household. They are living in a homeless situation and completely take refuge of drugs and no ethics. The police can't do anything. Mayor can't do anything. Devastating going on because they can't understand the ethical responsibilities. They can't understand the aesthetic part of our life because time is money. So you're chasing. Even after getting whatever you like, then what? Lost. So present by that few years ago, maybe 7 years ago, the maximum the suicidal rate was recorded in Sri Lanka. We were in the number one. Because the generation like them, younger generation, they have to work throughout the day. They have to satisfy the wife, wife's mother, wife's father, my father, my children. They are like dragons, sucking. They never give any chance for the money earner to be peaceful. And they are also not being taught about. There's something called like mindfulness or something like that. So ultimately exhausting. More the salary increases, the demand is increasing 3 times. So committing. And now I think Sri Lanka is number 3 or something like that. The committed suicidal rate, because of the way we have been taught, we have been trained. And we are so accustomed with the tension. It appears like a second nature. When there is no tension, we are committing suicide. Sudhanshu?
Asrei Bhante, I have a question. You've already touched on it in these answers, but in light of this sutta and these teachings, could you help explain something like the Akankeya Sutta a bit, where it's saying if a bhikkhu should wish, then he should do these things?
Yeah, because Venerable Jnana Deepa, he says, Nokopanetam bhikkhave icheyo pattabha, O monk, you can't achieve anything just by wish. You have to do the thing. So you can't do anything without a wish, no motivation. So therefore the Buddha says that people are chasing behind the sexual and sensuous pleasure. Instead he says spiritual pleasure or immaterial pleasure. For that you have to have motivation. For that you have to have the strategies. And very difficult for younger generation to go up to that level. Because they are always with the sensuous pleasure. It is a gain. It's too much of dopamine hormones. More you achieve, more hormones. But if you are telling that it is so destructive, it's a brain damage, so instead of having a contentment, that contentment is registered as non-materialistic. It is called niramisha. Amisha means seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Niramisha is you close your eyes. Go to a silent place. Don't move your body. Just be and see how many minutes you can be there. Then there is a kind of a contentment. That's it's a radical answer for this materialistic pleasure. But it is only very fraction of people do it. And for that you have to have motivation. You have to have a methodology. Otherwise it can't have it. But that was discovered before Buddha. That was there. And then the Buddha told that itself is not the ultimate. Because you can have kind of a desire for immaterial pleasure. And then he says, have the material pleasure, have immaterial pleasure without any discrimination. And then you are developing equanimity or middle path. Not that you are appreciating immaterial pleasure, not that you are not efficient to earn materialistic. You are efficient. But you know immaterial pleasure is more high quality. But if you attach to it, that's what happened to the devas. They are living on their past karma and the immaterial pleasure. So the human beings are like creatures. They have to earn something. We are not. We have everything. But they never respect Buddha. They never respect Dhamma. So Buddha have a strategic, special strategies for them to create a motivation. No, there is another still higher one. So that is very difficult than teaching a person in suffering. Than a person desperate, so you will be a refuge. But if it's better off, it's very arrogant. very difficult. So therefore, you have to have replace materialistic kind of motivation with the immaterialist kind of motivation. Immaterialist motivation with the indifferent kind of motivation. So in the Salayatana Vibhanga Sutta, Buddha says 36 paths, and according to 36, what replaced by another subtle one, and ultimately going to the subtlest replacement. So we are in a very efficient way, we are in a very effective way, replacing gross thing by subtle things. So therefore, to lose gross thing, to catch hold subtle things. Without catching hold, without grabbing subtle thing, you can't give up gross thing, because gross thing are very arrogant. They come and grab you. So instead, you have to keep your mind occupied with the subtle thing. Not to adhere to that, not to attach to it, you have to say, still subtle thing is there. Once you go there, you will see still a subtle thing. And that kind of evolution stopped for human being for millions of years ago because of the materialistic gain. When the science came, technology came, and infrastructure came, people thought, why? We have all the kind of thing and our parents did not have, we are having. So they thought that is it. But it's another bait. So you have to have a motivation. Only Buddha is teaching the evolution of the motivation. Other people have single motivation. It's bad. Buddha says motivation is evolving. That is called, in economies, they say economies of scale. Once you develop a company, once it comes to the saturation, it will start to collapse. You have to reshuffle it. Otherwise, company will collapse. The reshuffling in vipassana automatically happening. You are leading to the subtle to the subtlest, and that is the way it is happening. That path never you can explain in the linear method. It's a matrix. Linear method is what we are in learning today. It's good, but it's very, very limited. But this inward journey is not a linear one. It's not a... You can put into a technical writing. You have to experience it and do. I don't know whether I have sufficiently answered you, but I hope I understand your question.
Thank you, Mante.
Okay, another 5 minutes. If someone is having any idea, we'll go to the next stanza.
Equanimous, ever mindful in the world, he does not conceive himself to be equal or superior or inferior. For him, there are no swellings. So here we're getting down to this idea of atta, or core, or sense of self. And whenever we meet another person, even if we know that person with a long time, we immediately have this experience of assessment. You assess the other person. So am I equal or superior or inferior to this other person? And, the enlightened beings don't have that assessment of another person or of themselves. Because it's when you meet another person and you say, am I inferior or superior or the same as, I'm also judging myself. So I'm judging myself and I'm judging the other person. And you can see this with the animals. All these beings are assessing themselves and the other person. Am I equal to this person? Am I superior to this person? Am I inferior to this person? Am I as strong as this other predator? Am I equal to this other predator? Or am I inferior to this other predator? Am I going to be eaten? Or am I eating the other person? You know what I mean? Like, you see this all around you in nature. And it's interesting that when the arahants were enlightened, when they would go to the Buddha, they didn't say, I'm enlightened, or they didn't say that I have some special knowledge or power. They would say, this is unique. So there's four possibilities. I am superior, I am inferior, I am the same as, or I am unique. So they would say to the Buddha, this is unique. This is unique. So in other religions, there's always like, we're better than you. You know,
God is better than everyone.
God is better than, our God is better than your God. Because we're members of this God club and tribe, we're better than you. we're here to teach you, we're here to missionary you, we're here to change you. But if you want to be an individual, you have to become a Buddhist. This is unique. You know, this is unique. And, other religions will say, we're all the same. We're all the same. We're all brothers and sisters. You know, this is, we're the same. We're you and I are the same. We're not the same. No, none of us are the same. You know, even if you look at Siamese twins, they're not the same. Even though they're Siamese, almost in the one body, they're not the same. They're unique and individual. And, you know, the worst thing you can do to another person is to not see them as individuals. You know, like Putin to the Ukrainians. There are no Ukrainians. They're all Russians. You know?
China says Taiwan.
Taiwan, yeah, same thing, you know.
Luckily, India is not telling something to Sri Lanka.
Yeah, but we're all Indians, but you go to India and there's, you know, there A to Z of humanity going on in India. You know, there's top to bottom. Of Indians, so we're all brown. You say we're all pseudo-houndrels. We're all from different countries. Do I say to you, you're all bloody Indians? You know what I mean? Like, because you're brown, it's like ridiculous. You know, we fail to see the individual. Everyone is an individual. So, like, this is really the ultimate training. You know, you're an arahant if you understand that sloka here. So this is not trivial. Equanimous, ever mindful. Equanimity, is extremely difficult. Everybody wants to have metta. Everybody wants karuna. But, you know, what's the Buddha? The Buddha isn't talking about metta or karuna here. He's talking about upeka. And this is the most difficult, you know, especially in difficulty. You know, you know, at least the protests here have been very peaceful. But they haven't been equanimous. You know, they want something. You know, Gotabaya, go home. You know,
goldfish.
I'm just saying, this isn't equanimity. It's peaceful, but it's not equanimous. You know, equanimity is very difficult. And peacefulness, is difficult too. You know, that's difficult. But equanimity is even more difficult. Equanimity is not doing things for gain. So ever mindful, again, you know, to be alert, to be switched on, not turned off, not to be asleep, not to be drowsy, not to be toprous, to be paying attention and giving attention. Like if you're with your children, mostly children want attention. And, you know, you can be very tired as an adult or as a parent to give your attention to your children. But that's the thing that they most want. Daddy, you know, they want attention. So to be able to give your mind to whatever it is that you're doing, you know, is a difficult task. So this is a very difficult task. And in the world, he does not conceive himself to be equal or superior or inferior. So how does he perceive himself? This is an individual. This is unique. For him, there are no swellings. So it's differently translated is swellings or haughtiness. But in the commentaries, they also mention that there's different kinds of swellings. The swellings of greed, the swellings of aversion, the swellings of, you know, conceit. So there's different kinds of swellings. Like when you puff up, why do you puff up? You know, some people puff up because they're angry. Some people puff up because they're full of themselves. They're conceited. Some people puff up because they're greedy about something, you know. So there's a lot of reasons we puff up.
The Buddha's example is when you are planing the plank, the rough one, so puffed up thing will be cut off. So what the planer is doing, they remove all the swellings. The big swellings gone, so you can see the small swellings. And then once gone, everything is flat. So that is the Venerable Jnanananda's interpretation. When you are planing a plank, you can see bumps.
Yeah.
These are the usada.
Yeah. Like the worst thing you can say to anybody these days is, I'm normal. Like, how's your day? Normal. How's your life? Okay. You know what I mean? Like, nothing special. you know, I Dhammajiva knows my phrase, no news is good news. Like, I'll come in and I ask him, he comes back from Katawala, I'd say, so what's the news, you know? And most people are like, oh, there's no news. And I'm delighted, no news, like no swelling, you know, no swelling. I'm happy when there's no swelling, like, but most people want to hear swelling. You know, they want to, that's the news. Special, yeah, it's special. What's special? Something special. And they like special bad. You know, oh, that, you know, I met this guy, he's such an idiot. You know, I met the president, he's a total idiot. You know, that it's perfect. It's like we don't want swelling big. You know, I met somebody and they're very amazing. Okay, I can't get there, but I met him and he's a complete idiot. Oh, that's very good, you know? That's the perfect swelling.
So the Bill Gates and who is the other person?
Well, Bill Gates, yeah, yeah. I met him, he's an idiot. You know, like...
Another person is now very famous, Musk. Long. Yeah, they're bloody idiots. But they have swollen up now. And everything is depending upon these two idiots.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, this is swelling. This is swelling. This is the idea. So to be, like, for somebody to say, oh, you know, why have you been a monk all these years? Nothing, you know? Nothing special. And then it's like, this guy's a total idiot, you know? And it's this nothing special, nothing swollen. Like, huh? Yeah, it's this idea of evenness coming back to equanimity again. But and the previous verse we were talking about, no gain and no loss. You know, again, this same in the next, equanimity and no swellings. So yeah, this is a very difficult idea. Like, you know, like a lot of people think that Buddhism is boring, or, you know, meditation is boring, or, you know, there's nothing special in it, you know. But it's actually very subtle. This is something very subtle. And again, you have to remember he's teaching this to the devas. So, like, these are beings that are enjoying wonderful conditions.
Born lucky.
Yeah, these are the born lucky guys. So, like, but they're very intelligent. These are very smart beings at the same time. And, you know, their idea, they like subtlety, like Venerable Dhammajiva was talking about coarse and more refined. Visuddhimagga means going to refinement. So these are beings that actually do like refined things. So they are very quick and they're very refined. So that's why these teachings can be quite subtle anyway, you know. So these are very lofty.
Okay, now it's the time for... time to finish. If anyone is having, well, we can have 1 or 2 minutes. But otherwise, we are going to sum up. Okay, thank you very much for the participation. Yes?
Avasarai Bhante. So, just for the sake of understanding, to kind of summarize things, these sort of teachings are for the sake of understanding what it's really all about, this Dhamma, in the sake of in the sense of where it leads to this non-grasping, but still the path has these aspects of gradually coming to that and still having these kind of motivations in the beginning and things like that, because sometimes I find it very hard if one wants to practice without any of that to begin with.
Yeah, that you have to understand, this is not for the beginners. Mm-hmm. Once you started due to whatever made the motivation, and once you achieve something, and if you think it's a big thing, you have to tell, no, it is not a big thing, it's a thing. So better things are there. So it is comparing with the good and the better. So it's very subtle. So therefore, specifically for the monks and the residential yogis, you have to keep that window open. You all are better guys. You are born lucky. That's why we came here. But still, the subtle parts are there. For that, most important thing is innocence. Once you gain, you become arrogant. Who is you? Who are you to teach me? I have already done. Without you, I can do. But once you know there is a still subtle thing, you have the innocence. So that Thomas Merton, he was somewhere in Canada also. And he says, as far as you are innocent, you are in the paradise. Then you are going to search in terms of knowledge, eating the apple, you deprive of the paradise. So come back to the paradise and be there. We are all equal and we are very innocent, ready to listen to him, ready to listen to him. And then we are just like children, we call beginner's mind. And it's another complete type of interpretation of the Dhamma. But I would say it is vipassana. It is not in the dana, sila, bhavana areas. But once you are successful, only you are qualified to become vipassana. There you still see the faults of dana, faults of sila, samadhi, and you gain. So therefore, it is something high protein diet. Not for the young children. They are too young.
But given that, one could say that given that right view is also the beginning of the path, and the fact that panya is considered the end of the path, then it's good to have this outlook from the start, yeah, while knowing that you work along this line of gradual letting go. And so you still need to work with desire, still need to work with motivation and energy, samadhi.
So that is your prime duty. Go back to Canada and teach the bloody fellows about the right view. But very difficult. Because they are completely based upon wrong view. So what best thing is, mind your own business.
Well, that's why I came here.
Practice. And then just say, we are happy. We are brothers. And then they will see why without anything, how can they become happy and contented? Then we have to say, please sit down. And the, you also are better people, but subtle things are there. You don't know how to be a child. You don't know how to be a beginner's mind. So we are sharing with us, everyone, how to be a beginner's mind. Develop the beginner's mind, then you are in paradise. Simple. Not become childish, but childlike. Okay, thank you very much for the participation. We are preparing for the Pindapata.